You're listening to Confidence on the Go, your go-to podcast for motivation, inspiration, and confidence to help you boldly and bravely take action in your pursuit of living life to the fullest. I'm your host, confidence coach and personal trainer, Trish Blackwell, and it's my absolute honor and pleasure to spend some time with you each week to celebrate this beautiful thing called life.
Y'all, you are in for a treat. This is Trish Blackwell, your host of Confidence on the Go. You're listening to episode number 225. We're talking about today, and you're going to love the title, How Not to Eat Cake. And this is coming from I'm 9 months pregnant, right? I'm a woman who's definitely eating cake in her life right now, but who typically, you know, I don't eat cake all the time. But even in my non-pregnant life, I want you to know that eating cake is I want to get rid of the morality of food in your life. And I spent so many years of my life saying cake is bad, I won't touch it, and carrots are good. And I think when you approach food from that really stark all or nothing perspective, it can be really dangerous. It's why I struggled with a eating disorder for 10 years and body dysmorphia, even while I was a personal trainer and knew better and knew my nutrition. So we're talking really about the psychology of eating and how not to eat cake, but it's not me talking. I don't bring on guests often, but I've got one of my favorite guests. You guys, she's actually had one of the most she's been on the show before. She's one of the most listened to episodes. So back by popular demand is Isabel Foxenduke. We're talking how not to eat cake. And we're not just saying don't eat cake. We're going to talk about how you can eat cake with freedom and how can you actually be a healthy version of you while not being fearful around food or what food's going to do to you, and really to really reconstruct your relationship with food. So if you or anyone you know has struggled with eating, with worrying about calories, with worrying about or struggled with emotional eating or binging, this is an episode for you. And if you know somebody who would enjoy this, stop what you're doing now and send them a link to this episode. So it's you can share via iTunes or just send them to trishblackwell.com/225. If you're a new listener to the episode, to Confidence on the Go, I want to welcome you. You found a place where we are just a bunch of people who are go-getters in life trying to go and be a better version of ourselves. We are recovering perfectionists, determined to be just a little bit better each and every day, a little bit better of a version of ourselves mentally, physically, and spiritually. And also to be present, to find joy and abundance in the moment and how we are living as we are, and find joy not in the destination, but the journey. So if you're new, that's what we're all about. I'm happy you're here. If you're returning, I'm so happy that you are allowing me to be a consistent, just virtual hug and word of encouragement in your life. So specifically in this episode of Confidence on the Go, we're talking about Isabel Foxenduke's brilliance and innovative approach to not being crazy around food. I mean, it really is brilliant the way she talks and speaks and shares, and I'm so excited to share that with you. We're also going to be chatting about the subtle differences between emotional eating and binge eating, and what to do mid-binge if you find yourself out of control. Also, we're going to dive into the deeper message of what binge eating really means in your life and how to move forward from it. And then I'm going to share with you, and as Isabel is too, but this free video coaching series that you absolutely must watch if you have ever spent any more than a few minutes overthinking about food, about your body, or about weight loss. So you have to check out this free video coaching series. So much. It's the only thing I'm going to be really chatting about today for you. And in fact, I'll give you the link now. Just go to trishblackwell.com/Isabel. It's ISABEL. So trishblackwell.com/Isabel. Go ahead and get her free video coaching series. I'm telling you, you have to watch it. You got to be part of this if you've ever spent any more than a few minutes overthinking food or your body or weight loss. So before we dive into today's interview and before Isabel comes and wows us with all her info, of course, I got to share with you her bio. But before that, a quick sponsorship note. You guys, this podcast is brought to you by my partnership with Beauty Counter. I'm so proud to be an educator, a consultant for Beauty Counter. We are on a mission. We're more than just a beauty company. We are a company with a mission. We are a movement. And we need more voices to join up in our mission. So if you are serious about health, you're serious about empowering other people, you're serious about wellness and encouraging people to be the healthiest and best version of themselves, if you are serious and passionate about helping prevent cancer from continuing to grow, the environmental contributors to cancer, that these toxins that we're surrounding ourselves with, there are other major infertility issues, there are other major health issues that are seeping into our lives because of the products we use and the things we surround ourselves. If you want to make a difference, well, one, you can purchase Beauty Counter, or you can come do what I do and allow me to partner with you and mentor you in the business of Beauty Counter. So whether you want to check out Beauty Counter products for yourself, I would highly recommend them. They're the only thing my family and I use. You can go to beautycounter.com/Trish Blackwell. Or if you want to chat about the company itself, I'd love to talk to you. It's just shoot me an email, trish@trishblackwell.com. And as always, you guys, a quick hello and extended welcome to all my Keep the Faith listeners out there. You guys, thank you for being a part of this extended community of contagious encouragement. And really quickly, you guys, I do want to tell you about Isabel Fox and Duke. She slowly began to peel off her old diet thinking brain that really the kind of thoughts that were leaving her frustrated and obsessed with the Weight Watchers calculator, and that would inevitably lead her to a pool of brownie batter by the end of the day. And after years of various treatments for emotional eating and binge eating, countless failed attempts at intuitive eating, she was never really able to implement these things and the strategies people recommended because her crazy brain always got in the way. And Isabel realized that she was never going to be able to change her behaviors unless her thinking was radically changed first. So when she finally stopped thinking like a dieter, she finally started thinking normally. She stopped binging on weird food combinations. She stopped having emotional and physical triggers that sent her straight to Thin Mints and Girl Scout cookies. And she started finding freedom. She wants you to know that your life does not need to revolve around food. So if you're finding that dieting isn't working for you, or that you're stuck in a yo-yo cycle of binge eating and emotional eating, I think you might want to open your brain to the possibility of a new way of thinking and some of what Isabel is about to share. Now, she's changed women's lives all around the world. She's got accolades from some pretty big names when you go check out her website. She's somebody you want to pull your chair up for. And I'm excited that you get the opportunity to hang out with her the way I did. And let's rock and roll and dive deep into this chat with Isabel on how not to eat cake. Okay, guys, back by popular demand, I am so excited to have her back on Confidence on the Go. You responded so well to her episode a couple months ago, which is why I just had to get her back on. Isabel Fox and Duke, girlfriend, you are rocking the world with what you're doing, and I am so happy that you took the time, on your birthday to hang out with me.
It is my birthday.
Such happy a special birthday. Day. It was ridiculous because I signed in and I like to Skype to do, for us to chat and have our virtual coffee. And it has this alert and it's like, it's Isabel's birthday. And I went, okay, well, I must have the date. I must have the date wrong. We must not be scheduled today. She would not have done that. That's how much you love your people. That's how much you're committed to serving and loving and helping others find freedom super from committed. Food. So I just appreciate that. And I think that speaks volumes to your heart. So thank you.
Thank you. Yes, yeah. Yes. And of course, I am looking forward to my immediate vacation following this interview. Awesome. But yes, no.
Where
I'm
are you
happy
going?
To be here.
You got to tell me where you're going.
I'm going to Austin, Texas to check that out because I hear it's cool there. So I got to check it out. Never been.
Cool.
And then Santa Fe, New Mexico. To Santa Fe, New Mexico to check out Santa Fe. So I'm doing like a little, southwest tour, sitch. Yeah, so I'm excited just to see what both of those cities have in store for me.
That's awesome. So, well, that's sweet. So, well, we bribed everybody with this, promise of, how do you not eat cake? Because let's face it, I love cake, right? I mean, too many years of my life, I was like, oh, no, I don't like cake. And I'm finally at the point where I'm like, no, I love cake. Actually, I like the icing. But will you expand on that first to start? Because if somebody goes to your website, it's not the full statement, to be fair. So how do you not eat cake?
Well, I want to start by just telling a little bit of the story. I mean, I personally, and I don't know if you relate to this, I'm sure that there are people who relate to this, for the longest time, I thought my problem was that I couldn't stop myself from eating cake, cookies, brownies, whatever the thing is that was not allowed. My problem was that I just couldn't get my together to not do it, right? I couldn't hang on by my fingernails and not eat the thing, right? So just to give a little context, so many women out there, I started dieting when I was really young, come from a dieter family, dieter household, pediatrician, super into BMI, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And so dieting my whole life. And, of course I'd be like, okay, I'm not going to eat any carbs. I'm not going to eat any sugar, I'd go on these elaborate diets where, you know, of course they have all the diet changed all the time. It was the no carbs. It was the calorie counting. It was the this, it was the that. It was the,
every
you know,
3 months it changes.
Right. It was just like the whole, yeah, sometimes it would be like every 3 weeks, every 3 days, you know, because what would happen is that I would lose it. Right. I wouldn't be able to stick to, right. Like I would just like do the thing. I would, you know, I'd be like, okay, yes, gung ho, not eating bread. Blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, 3 weeks later, I'd be literally like up to my belly button and like French toast, give it to me. Like I'd have these like, voracious binge eating episodes, really. I mean, yeah. And that's what it was. And, you know, it's like, I love laughing about it and I find it very humorous in retrospect. But at the time,
but
it was
it's like
just
a real,
so
yeah.
painful.
Yes.
Yeah. So painful. These like, oh my God, I fell off the wagon. I am just like, you know, I've failed. I've lost it. Right. You know, I was doing quote unquote so well. And now I'm just like off the deep end. And of course the body shame that goes with that is so intense. Right.
And it's like, and just self-esteem shame like that comes with it. This devastation of disappointment in yourself.
Totally. So, you know, I mean, I sort of now recognize, I didn't necessarily identify that or identify myself as such at the time, but I now recognize like, wow, this is diet binge cycling. Like yeah. this is what is happening to, by the way, most people who are dieting, right, they will experience this in some form. Some people will experience it lightly or loosely, right? Like, oh, I went on a diet, lost some weight, rebound, gained it back, did the thing, and they're, you know, kind of yo-yo dieting. And some people will have sort of more severe both restrictive and binge eating tendencies. And by the way, by the end of my career, I was a pro diet binge cycler, right?
Yeah.
Like I was like on that diet, obsessed with food, like fully like thinking about food. How am I going to get the weight off? How am I going to do this? What's the newest like health craze? Like I was on it. I had read everything. I was, you know, a little amateur nutritionist and then also binging my brains out. Yeah. Like, you know, every third day, you know, towards the end, I couldn't go more than 3 days and I'd just be binging my face off. And so I was like, and so this was, you know, I went obviously to like, I got to a pretty severe place with it, right? Like a really, you know, I ended up being diagnosed with binge eating disorder, which many people don't realize actually is in many ways, right? It is a restrictive eating disorder in many ways, right? Because this binge eating always goes sort of hand in hand with having had these restrictive episodes, you know, they go together. And I think that's one of the things people don't realize about BED is that it is actually a restrictive eating disorder in which your binges are, you know, very much reactions to heavy restriction. So, yeah, so I struggled with this just my whole life. Didn't even really recognize. I just thought my problem is I can't control. Why can't I control myself around food? Like, why don't I have willpower? What, you know, what is wrong with me? Woe is me. I'm never going to, you know, the hopelessness and this just feeling of just I suck, da, 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 da. And so in my head, you know, the reason my blog is called How to Not Eat Cake is because that was sort of how I perceived. That was how I perceived my problem at the time is like, I just can't keep it up. I just can't make it happen. I just have these like horrible failure episodes. And then I have to start again from day one, you know, or, you know, another thing that I used to do that I think a lot of people relate to is like, I fell off the wagon. So I'm going to like, you know, basically eat everything that I possibly can. And tomorrow I'll start.
Yeah. Hey, right. Might as well just go all out. Like you already made one small mistake. Let's just make it gigantic. Oh yeah. Right. I did that big time.
Yep. Very classic. Yeah. Very, very classic sort of like binge eating episode is not even just necessarily reacting to, you know, restriction in the past, but reacting to this idea that I'm going to restrict tomorrow. Diet starts tomorrow. Diet's day one's tomorrow. So today, full on binge, right?
Right.
Very common, right? So, so this was my experience and, you know, ultimately I ended up, learning a lot. I often say it wasn't, you know, I mentioned that I went to treatment for BED, but that was just the beginning of the story, right? I mean, it was years of really learning how to heal my relationship with food in a pretty deep way because, you know, breaking myself out of sort of the diet mentality and the diet thinking, right? The, oh, diet starts tomorrow, so better eat everything now, right? That all comes from diet mentality, right? Like binge eaters are very, very steeped in diet mentality. They're often thinking about food all the time. And so this sort of getting to the root of the thinking patterns and the beliefs and the attitudes and sort of the psychology around food that, you know, kind of was creating this behavioral pattern, it took years to to really, you know, kind of understand what that was and sort of how to break those thinking patterns, not just the behavioral patterns, but the thinking patterns that were, of course, underlying. I very much related, you know, I very much thought of myself as a, quote, emotional eater. I think a lot of people do that, you know, do as well. I think that's a common one we hear about. It seems to be a little bit of a buzzword. Yeah, so there was just a lot of emotional work to do. And when I started to really feel real relief, I started blogging, and I titled my blog, How to Not Eat Cake, ... Really fast standing up when nobody's looking, right? Because that's what it felt like. It was like I'm in the kitchen, like hoping my boyfriend doesn't walk into me, like scooping jam. I mean, I remember literally scooping jam out of the jar with my fingers, right? Like just like literally just like, oh, or like, you know, I think everyone's done that thing where like, I'm just going to take just a little sliver of the cake, like just like a little like finger lick of the cake.
And then
no one
two
will
pieces.
Notice.
Yes. Yes.
Right. And then it's like half the cake is gone, but you're like, I just don't want anyone to notice, you know? Right. So there's a lot of shame, a lot of hiding. And so, yeah, that's sort of where the title of the blog, How to Not Eat Cake, really, really fast standing up when nobody's looking, you know, what I realized is like the problem wasn't even the cake. I thought that it was the cake. The problem was the whole way that I was operating around cake. It was the whole thinking pattern and all of the thought processes that kind of that kept me in this diet binge cycle, right? And also led to all sorts of compulsive behaviors around food. I had all sorts of emotional attachments to food and emotional attachments to dieting. Right. People don't talk about that enough either.
That's a great
like,
point.
It wasn't just, you know, people for all the hullabaloo about emotional eating, which trust me, I could talk about all day. You know, I think that people don't also recognize how emotionally attached they are to dieting. Right. How emotionally attached they are to wanting to try to control their food and wanting to try to control their weight. And oh, maybe just this trick will make it happen. Or maybe just this thing, if I do, will finally get the weight off. Right. I mean, that's also very kind of compulsive thought pattern for people who are struggling with food. So.
Well, you know, I want to go back to your example of like, all right, let's go back to the example of the cake, and we're taking a sliver of the cake. You know, someone's about, they're feeling like this emotional urge to eat, right? And I actually would like to hear your opinion after this on the difference between emotional eating and binge eating, and if they're the same in themselves. But okay, so we'll get to that after that. But so we go to this concept. Somebody takes a sliver, and they're like, okay, it's just gonna be a little bit, and then the little sliver becomes two slivers, which is really, you know, we'll call it a full size piece of cake. So in their mind, you're like, I'm over. Like, I've already messed up. Like, the day is done. Right. Throw in the towel. What is their hope at that point? Like, what would you recommend that somebody feels that they're like, they can feel themselves in the process of falling off the wagon?
Right.
And they're eating the cake the wrong way, so to speak. Is there, how do you turn that? What is something actionable that they can do that moment to go, okay, well like, I can actually stop right now?
Right.
Or like, yeah, what would you advise someone in that situation? Because I think there's a lot of people that get to that point, and then you're like, well, I mean, we tell ourselves we don't have control.
Well, so here's the thing. To some extent, it's sort of true that you, quote, don't have control. And bear with me for a second.
Sure.
If you are reacting biologically to deprivation, right? Mm. And so this is the thing, is that I think that we need to be, you know, binge eating sort of by definition is out of control, right? Like people don't like wake up and be like, I'm going to binge today. That's an intentional choice.
Right.
But like if by definition, it's it's an emotionally compulsive reaction to something. And that thing is typically restriction, which is not just a physical behavior necessarily, but also an emotional behavior, right? So it's like diet starts tomorrow, or oh my God, I just can't stand it anymore. I need the bread basket.
I'm not like, allowed to have this food's off limits to me. I'm not
this
allowed to have it.
Right. I should only have this much. I need to control myself. Another big metaphor that people often talk about in the binge eating, emotional eating world is like being a kid in a candy store, being told not to touch, or being a kid in a toy store, being told not to touch the toys, right? It's like the feeling of urgency of, no, but I really want a toy, Mom. It heightens as you're being told you can't have it, right? Like you're like kind of an animal in a cage, right? Like a toy that you might not even care about. It becomes really exciting if it's a toy that you're told you're not allowed to have, right? And I think, you know, to bring it to like adult metaphors, right? I think people experience this in the world of dating all the time. For those of you who relate to that, right? Like a guy that I can't have
is more attractive.
Is so all of a sudden it's like, how do I get him or her, right? And so, and this is a very different, you know, the reality of the situation is if he were freely available to you, I could take it or leave it. Maybe right. not. Right.
Right.
Which kind of brings me to this idea of like, what is quote normal eating, right? So if we know what like diet binge cycling, emotional eating, like I typically food obsession, the way I talk mm-hmm. about it or the way I describe it is just generally feeling crazy around food. Like just yes. generally just feeling like your life is just being run by food, right? What is the opposite of that? Or what does it mean to be quote unquote a normal eater? Meaning like one of those people who just kind of like could take it or leave it, doesn't really worry about it. You know, oh, like sure, I'll have a piece of cake, but it's no big deal. It doesn't like send me off on a binge, like it doesn't like trigger me into like a giant rampage of like, oh my God, I'm just like can't stop shoveling, you know, or yeah. you know, sometimes I want the salad, sometimes I have a burger and just quote unquote the ideal fantasy. And I imagine some people can imagine this, right? Of just like the normal eater. You know, you think about like the woman in Paris who's just like, whatever.
Yes. Yeah, have a little and piece really, of cake. Yes. Yeah.
Right. And really the difference between the two is like this whatever feeling, this feeling of like, ah, I could take it or leave it, no biggie, comes from allowance, like feeling like, mm-hmm. well, it's not that special. I really can have it. You know, like it's not yes. off limit.
I
it's
like
not,
that.
Not okay.
It's not right? that special.
Right. It's just I really it, like I can have it. What makes food so, so special that like it creates all of this obsession. In many ways, it starts with being feeling like I can't have it. It's not okay. Like I have to deny myself of that thing. Right. And so the binge, you know, if you say what to do in the moment of the binge, I would make the argument that to some extent the binge is out of your control. The only thing you can do is like, it's really about like, I mean, you can't go back in time and not be on a diet to begin with, but right. in the future, not get back on the wagon and start the cycle again.
Right. Like, to prevent the next time. Yes.
Right. Like in my opinion, it's like a binge is actually a pretty natural emotional and physiological reaction to deprivation and restriction. Your best bet going forward is to just not hop on the diet wagon again. Cause that's why they call it a cycle. That's why they call it the diet binge cycle, right? It's like we restrict, we binge. And then what do we do after we binge? Day one,
yeah,
we're back on the diet, right? And it's yep. And
what I love about that, Isabel, yeah. is like you've taken out the villainization of it. Like I think people in the binge,
yeah.
we villainize ourselves in this. I really am a POS. Like, well, look at me, I'm out of control. Right. Like, you know, it drives which drives that cycle even more.
Right. And the yeah. reality of the situation is like, it's actually pretty normal. It's actually pretty natural,
physiological
to like
reason
have
this
those.
Happening.
Moments after you've experienced major scarcity, you know, like yeah. you could make the argument evolutionarily speaking, right? Like binge eating is a reaction to any threat, real or perceived, of starvation, right? Like if there is like any part of you in your body that on a cellular level is like food is a scarce resource, right? We're not sure when we're going to be able to get it, what kinds we're going to be able to get. It's a scarce resource. Effectively, we go into hoarding mode, right? Like mm-hmm. at some point, we're going to snap, right? And the second food is available to us for whatever reason, you know, emotionally or otherwise, we're going to like go into super hardcore hoarding mode. So, you know, in my opinion, it's like, you can't really, you know, because people always ask me this question. A lot of people want me to really say, you know, a lot of people want me to answer the question, how can I stay on my diet without binging?
And you're like, and, well... Right,
yeah, and my answer to that is there is no such thing.
Yeah.
Right? There's no like yeah. if right? The only answer is to actually get out of the diet, get out of the whole kit and caboodle of the cycle entirely. Like actually remove yourself from dieting, change your relationship with food to be more inclusive of a variety of foods, mm-hmm. you know, be more intuitive eating, obviously another buzzword that comes up a lot, which is sort of being able to use intuition around foods that, you know, what makes me feel good right now? Like what, I don't need to be off limits with cake. That doesn't necessarily mean I have to eat cake every single day, but right. I can listen to my body and I can listen to my internal signals, which again, for dieters listening to me, if you're, this is going completely over your head, like what the hell are you talking about?
Is that possible? Yes, right? It is possible.
And yeah. so these are all of the things that we are sort of teaching people is like how, this is how quote normal eaters eat. They eat when they're hungry. They stop when they're full. They listen to their body. Sometimes they're in the mood for a salad. Sometimes they want a piece of cake, right? And so these, you can actually learn this. This is actually your birthright. Mm-hmm. When you were a baby and you popped out of your mother's womb, and you may not even remember this. I don't even remember this because I basically started dieting pre-memory. but, you know, like, you actually at one point, you were biologically capable of feeding yourself like all mammals just instinctively yes. know how to feed themselves. Like animals, if you have a cat or a dog, they eat and then they're done and then they move on, right? Right. I mean, babies, right? When they're on the bottle, yes. at some point
they stop.
They're done with the bottle, right? They know. And so this is your biological birthright, is to be able to kind of, you know, regulate around food intuitively without even thinking about it. But what ends up happening, of course, is we lose those really important intuitive skills once we start dieting, right? Dieting kind of steals those intuitive skills. We stop listening to ourselves, we stop self-trusting, we rely on external information, we rely on what Dr. Oz told us to eat, we rely on what Dr. Atkins told us to eat, you know, we rely on all these external rules, which of course end up not working because we end up feeling it's like impossible not to deprive yourself on some level. If you're not listening to yourself around food and checking in with your body and checking in with your own self, right? Yeah. Your own authentic desires, you know, at some point you are going to rebel, right? Like right. at some point you are going to freak out. Right.
Yeah.
And you're just going to get whatever it is. So, you know, this is sort of, you know, the answer to your question is like, well, by the time you're at the point of binging, like that binge is happening. It's probably just mm-hmm. done. It's a done deal. In my experience, that's my experience.
Yeah.
I will say you can mitigate the harm by not going into day one starts tomorrow because day one starts tomorrow typically makes binges worse right now. Right.
Like, that's again, I think true. Because you're like, well, I'm going all out. Like us.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Because like, that restriction's already hanging over your head.
Right. Like if you, right. Exactly. Like that's a sort of the only way to really get out of binge eating, in my opinion, is through getting out of dieting and diet mentality. So that means, you know, again, you can't go back in time and not do a diet that you've already done, but you cannot do them in the future. Right.
I love it.
Which prevents the cycle from repeating and also certainly harm reduces on the front of, you know, what I would call last supper eating, right? Like eating because tomorrow's day one, like my last supper before the diet begins again.
Well, I've one quick comment and then we'll move to the next question is, but it's this belief that like, okay, you've never been a normal eater, but that everyone has it biologically programmed them in them to be that is our set point. Cause I remember feeling like I'll never be able to eat normally. And look, like after years of work, I'm normal. Like I can't have, I just had a couple pieces of chocolate in the middle of the day because I felt like it was beautiful, right? You know, and like I'm saying that to anybody listening. You might be like, I love what Isabel's saying, but like, it's just not, this is possible. If you can make these changes and if I can make these changes, I'm going to say for both of us, anybody can make these changes, right?
Like, totally. I mean, I mean, I was a hardcore.
I was like a lost cause.
Low bottom binge eater. Yeah, exactly. Like I was like, there is no way. And the first time that I learned, I think it's relevant to say, the first time that I picked up the intuitive eating book and they were like, eat when you're hungry and stop when you're full, or like listening to your body, like what is your body want? I was like, this is bullshit. Right?
Yeah,
like, I was just like, totally. I was like, nope, like I can't do this. And it took, you know, this work. I think it's worth saying that this is a long-term process. I mean, relinquishing diet mentality, changing the way you act, the way you fundamentally think about food and operate around food is a whole different ball game than just switching from one diet, eat the food that's on this piece of paper, to this diet, eat that food that's on this piece of paper. I mean, like, you know, like it is easy, it is easy to switch from one form of trying to control yourself through some external mechanism to another. Mm-hmm. It is a whole nother process. It is a whole nother ball game when you were like, oh, God, like this isn't going to be solved by just switching the types of foods that I'm eating or like, you know, doing some like next other magical trick with food or just changing my workout.
It's not a pill fix. It's not an overnight fix.
This is like a radical excavation of your brain, right? Like this really is. And so it is a process. It takes time. It takes to support. Another thing that I often say to anyone who is familiar with intuitive eating or not, that it's a really interesting book for anyone who struggles with any of the things that we just discussed. But I often say, like, you know, a diet is the easiest on day one. Like day one, you are feeling good, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's like, you know, first day, first week, you know, first whatever, you know, that's when you've got it. Like, you've got it. I've got this. I'm on my way. I'm on my way to, like, that body that I think that I need to have, you know, whatever. I feel powerful. I feel good. Like, this is, it's all good. And then, of course, at some point we lose it, right? Like, at some point we're like, oh, but that cheesecake looked good. God, but I really just can't go to the gym for the sixth day in a row. Like, you know, like, it starts to feel like a slog. It starts to feel hard. We start to feel like we're hanging on by our fingernails, and we're like, and we get nervous because we're like, shh, oh God, it's just a matter of time. I can feel myself slipping. Oh my God, what's happening? What's happening? Ah, I'm falling.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Binge. And you lose it. Binge town, yeah. Right? So, you know, and that is sort of how dieting works. Like, that's sort of like the trajectory in my experience, typically, right? Little edits here and there, but like typically that's sort of the deal. Maybe there are, you know, some days better than others, but overarchingly, that's sort of often what happens.
And would you
now
agree?
Intuitive eating is the opposite, right? It's like hardest on day one. You're like, what's going on? What's my body saying? I don't understand. And, you know, and it gets easier with practice and changing the way you think, right? It actually becomes more natural and easier and easier over time, right? It's a skill that you practice. It's not a thing to hang on to.
Right. Well, and would you agree? So not everybody identifies as a binge eater, but there's a lot of people who identify as emotional eaters. Would you say that everything we're talking about still applies in the same, I mean, it's the same cycle, right?
Yeah. Well, good distinction. Okay. So yeah, you're right. Emotional eating and binge eating often get lumped in together as the same thing. So I have sort of distinguished them sort of just so that we can understand the two differences. Binge eating typically is defined as a reaction to deprivation, meaning like, and I think, again, this is not every professional on the planet, but I think, you know, there are a lot of people who are still confusing binge eating and emotional eating in their work and blah, blah, blah. But I think for most part, the most helpful delineation that like I feel is most useful is understanding that binge eating really is a reaction to deprivation, meaning binge eating is the feeling of, I can't have that, so I want it even more. Or it's the feeling of, oh my God, I just can't hold myself from the bread basket any longer. Bam, I'm going to go eat like an entire loaf of bread with butter. Or like, you know, it happens. It is fundamentally a reaction to dieting or diet mentality, right? Like, day one starts tomorrow. It doesn't exist in theory, right? In this definition that I'm giving, it doesn't exist. And it by definition is a reaction to some sort of way of operating around food, whether that be physical, emotional, or just the way that we think, revolves around diet mentality, that revolves around the idea that there's a good way to eat, a bad way to eat, a right body to have, a wrong body to have, right? If binge eating to some extent always is a reaction to that kind of core underlying belief system of diet mentality, of right, wrong, good, bad, black, white. If we are thinking that way, if we are struggling with diet mentality, binge eating is likely going to happen, and binge eating is a reaction to those thoughts, behaviors, and to some extent. Emotional eating, theoretically, doesn't have to be a reaction to dieting in the sense that, like, I could be not dieting. I could be like not even, not physically, not emotionally. I could have not be struggling with diet mentality at all. I could be like an alien from outer space who's never even heard the term thin is good, fat is bad. And I could just be like, I'm sad and cupcakes taste good. And so I want to eat one because they make me feel better, right? Like, or like temporarily give me a little distraction or like a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a kick on my taste buds. It's a form of pleasure. Eating is a form of pleasure. So as such, it can be theoretically used to soothe or distract from a feeling that's uncomfortable.
Got it.
Right. So I always think of like emotional eating as just like eating over feelings. Binge eating by definition, right? In the definition that I use, which is not everyone's, but I think this is most useful just to understand, right? Is a reaction to diet mentality. I often call binge eating reactionary eating because like that's easier for people to understand. Like, it is a reaction to deprivation versus I'm bored, I want a cupcake. Like, I'm sad, I'm gonna have a bowl of ice cream
I can stop after the bowl of ice cream.
Now,
love it.
One thing about emotional eating is that it often turns into binge eating because we villainize it, right?
Right.
We have diet mentality around it, right? So it's like, I'm bored, I want a cupcake, begins the, oh God, now I'm off the wagon, right?
And I should have two.
Mentality.
three.
Right now. Yeah. Right. Exactly. It's like what could have just been, I'm bored, I want a cupcake. Oh yeah, I'm bored, I want a cupcake. Or like, oh, I'm kind of sad, I'm gonna have some ice cream. It now is a binge because, oh shoot, I fell off the wagon. Because mm-hmm. we apply diet mentality to it, right?
Got like, it.
Typically, emotional eating, I mean, people will say like, oh, I binge when I'm sad. And it's like, well, right. But you're probably villainizing the fact that you wanted a cupcake, right? There's mm-hmm. there's often most quote unquote people, most people who identify as emotional eaters almost always problematize emotional eating and think that it's like this bad thing that they shouldn't be doing, right? Which is diet mentality itself.
Which is what and creates then, the problem. There you go. Yeah.
Right. We're like down, now we're down the rabbit hole. It's like the second I problematize and villainize emotional eating, now I'm like down the rabbit hole and I'm like, and now I'm binging, right? Because now it's not just I'm sad. Now it's also I'm sad and I fell off the wagon, mm-hmm. right?
So. That's a great, great distinction. Here's what I want to do, and I want to get you out the door for your birthday. So I have one more question for you.
Go for it.
Yeah. I want you to tell us about your video series and you guys, the link for you to go get, Isabel has this awesome video training series on how to stop fighting food, how to kind of taking what we're talking about even deeper and more expansively and extensively. So
yes, there's so much more to say.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And so I definitely want you to get it. Guys, I'll have the link in the show notes, but you're going to get, the link is super easy. I'm making it as easy as possible to remember. It's trishblackwell.com/Isabel and she spells it Isabel. So could you, tell them what to expect in the video series, why they should get it. Repeat what I said. It's free. Like if any of this resonated,
it's free.
You want this free training. So you mind just kind of closing us out with a little bit about that?
Yeah. I mean, so my free video, so Stop Fighting Food, which is like, it's basically like the ultimate introduction to my work. Right. And so it's sort of like, I created this video series because I wanted people to have like a place to go where they could be like, okay, yes, I'm struggling with this diet binge cycling thing. I'm struggling with body image. I'm struggling with this thing called food issues, right? This like sort of emotional mental thing that people often just put in quotes, food issues, right? Or feeling crazy around food. And, you know, I don't know what to do, right? And so, like, if you don't think I'm a total lunatic based on what I've said today, and you're curious to hear more of my perspective on this after studying this for quite a while, I put together this free video training series for people to sort of get, like, the basics of quote-unquote the non-diet approach. And a lot of people claim to be offering a non-diet approach. This is a much more intensive non-diet approach that very, very much focuses on your psychology, right? Like, this is not necessarily – I'm not going to tell you what to eat. Like, that's not the issue. That's not what we're dealing with, right? We're dealing with the fact that this is a psychological issue, right? Like, this is a psychological problem that is certainly potentially affecting your behaviors with food on multiple levels, not only binging, but also, again, restricting. I think there are also several people, I mean, more and more of my clients are people who are sort of more on the restrictive spectrum, who may not even identify as binge eaters or even emotional eaters that much, but just feel crazy around food. They're thinking about food. They're obsessed with food. Their life revolves around food. You know, I get a lot of clients in that category too. It just so happens that obviously a lot of those restrictive eaters will end up binge eating because that's, again, very common symptom of feeling crazy around food. Yeah. So, so I sort of put together this video training series so that people have like one place to go where they could just get like, okay, like here is like a really, really solid introduction to some principles that you may not have heard. I also really do a lot with body shame because I recognize that, you know, body shame is the biggest trigger of these diet mentality thoughts. So the irony, of course, and people don't realize this, people think body shame is somehow like making them thinner or, you know, I don't know. But the irony is that body shame actually triggers a lot of binge eating. And so I talk quite a bit about that as well. And, you know, it's just it's like kind of getting into, it's just a slightly different perspective than you may hear from, other people talking about emotional eating. So if you're curious, don't think I'm a total lunatic.
then you need to jump in and you guys do it. Check it out. trishblackwell.com/Isabel, Isabel. And Isabel, I wish you the happiest of birthdays. I hope your trip is amazing. Thank you for hanging out with us. And we're going to have you back on. I mean, I think this is a, you know, every 6 months kind of thing because you're bringing a fresh perspective every time. And I know that this is an issue that so many people struggle with and don't know how to talk about. And you make it comfortable. And I so appreciate that.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much. It was so great to be here as always and such a like treat to talk to your people. So
awesome.
Hi guys, hope you enjoyed it.
Thanks.
you guys, and I do hope that you enjoyed it as much as I do, and I always do, chatting with Isabel. She's just a powerhouse, right? Like, what an amazing wealth and resource of information. I do hope you go check out trishblackwell.com/Isabel. Get her free coaching. Your body and your mind are going to both thank you. And just briefly before we close out, before we go to the listener of the episode, you know, I want you to get those free videos today. That's the only announcement I have for you. So go check them out, trishblackwell.com/Isabel. And let me share with you, our listener of the episode is Miss Elena Gutierrez, and she is a coaching client of mine. She's a rock star powerhouse, and she's someone who I love, love, love. And here's what she said. She said, "Hey, you lovely chica, how are you? My amazing woman, what a beautiful gift you've given me with this email you just sent. You carry life inside of you and you see life around. Everything you touch grows, Trish. Everything you touch grows. I bless you today. Bless you with all the power of the kingdom, that when you read this, you feel heaven rejoicing and happiness of what you've done and what you're yet to do with your faith, your courage, and your blessings by just being you. May the angels hug you tight and this day be blessed." And Elena, I love your heart. Elena is out in Austria. She has an amazing, amazing presence, an amazing story. She's doing incredible things, influencing people and changing lives. And you know what? I want to say everything you said to me back. And I just want to thank you for the power of the of words of affirmation. And you guys, I love this optimism that Elena has shared with, like, what would happen if you approach life that everything you touch grows? Everything, you're going to have setbacks. You're going to have things that don't grow as fast as you want. But if you have a growth mentality and you have the mentality that life is going to be beautiful and it will bloom and bloom and bloom, it just blooms at its own time, then your ability to live in the present and have this abundance joy is going to be pretty dramatic. And I hope that is what you experienced today. I want to thank you, Elena, for being you, for being a go-getter, for being somebody who is just adamantly determined to be the best version of you for yourself and for your daughters, and for those who you touch. And I just think that's amazing. So keep on keeping on, sister. And you guys, thank you for just creating this community where we can build one another up with words of affirmation and words of encouragement. So you guys, thank you for you being you. And like Elena said, it's amazing what happens, what blessings you bring to the world around you by you being the best, most authentic version of you. So I hope that is what you experienced today. I hope that you're really encouraged with Isabel Fox and Duke's message, and that you go check out her video coaching series. That's totally free, trishblackwell.com/Isabel. And you guys, I can't wait to see and hang out with you in our next podcast episode, which is going to be on how to make small actions have a big impact. I'm pretty excited about that. So get excited for that. How to make small actions to have a big impact. All right, guys. Your small actions matter. Every little thing you do matters. Be proud of that. Be proud of your baby steps. Be proud of just every new little thing you learn, every nugget of truth, every little breakthrough, every aha. Those are blooming you into blessing. Now go out there today. Go be more of who you are. Be you. Be free.
Thanks for listening. You can get more confidence resources at trishblackwell.com. If you love the show, let me know. Write a review in iTunes or send me an email at trish@trishblackwell.com. Take your confidence to a new level by downloading my free daily guide to confidence, The Confidence Roadmap. You can grab your free roadmap at trishblackwell.com/roadmap. And you know what? I'm thankful for you. Yes, you. So thanks for being you. Now go share the best of you with the world.